It's the City of Unalaska Historic Preservation Commission regular meeting. It's Thursday, December 15th, and it's 6 p.m. I call this meeting to order. Can I get a roll call, please?
Williams?
Here.
Swangle?
Here.
Marquez? Not here. Bagley? Not here. Hatfield? Is on the line.
Do we have you, Jenny? Are you muted?
She is unmuted.
We need Jenny for a quorum. We still can't hear you on this end. Show she's there.
It says she's here. Jenny, do you need to unmute your phone itself?
What is it, like star something or what is
it? She's Jenny says she can't hear anything if we're speaking.
This is Rena. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Rena. I'm not sure why our other commissioner can't hear us.
Susan typed in the chat that she can't hear anything if you're speaking. So maybe it's on her end.
Can we call the 100, the 800 number?
She
and I think we're going to do some practice.
Internet or she called in.
She's on the internet. So maybe we can use the phone. We don't go through this at council like this. We have other problems, but we have these kind of problems. So apparently it depends on what body is meeting in there and who's doing whatever.
I've got us on the line. Because we're on the phone.
Are we on the 800 number?
We're on one of them. We're on
Jenny
the one
to
that
call
the system.
The 800 number instead of the Zoom, if that's what she's trying to use. The Zoom isn't working. Let's cut our losses.
Are you texting her or messaging her?
She's putting out another fire right now, but if I have to block that one and help with this one, then we'll walk home.
Do you have the number that, what 800 number?
I don't have any board members' numbers. I'm lucky if I can remember my own.
Apologize, Rena. We're working on it here, trying to get Jenny on the phone so we can make a quorum here.
It's not where you help. I'm happy to
do it. Stand by, and we'll see if we can fix this here. If not, we're gonna have to postpone.
He's gonna call on his phone.
Okay, we have a quorum. Ms. Hatfield is on the phone with us. Okay, we have the agenda here. Is there any revisions to the agenda?
None.
Okay, hearing none. Parents request, I don't believe there is any. We have Rena on the phone with us.
You got to call the meeting to order. She'll take attendance, please, for historic first.
I
didn't hear it. Really?
Sorry. Yeah, I was taking attendance.
That's what we were waiting for, was Ginny to sit here. So three makes a quorum. Okay. Are there any announcements this evening?
There are no announcements this evening.
Okay, thank you. So the minutes were included in the packet from the April 21st, 2022 meeting. Is there any revisions to the minutes? Hearing none, we'll consider the minutes approved. All right, public hearing. This is an opportunity for the public to speak up. We only have the, there is nothing. So we'll just move right down to the work session. Item number one is an update on Army Corps of Engineers formerly used defense sites restoration advisory board activities. We have Rena Flint from the Army Corps of Engineers on the line, and we'll let her fill us in on what's going on. Go ahead, Rena.
Yep, so Thomas asked me to speak 10 minutes. I'm happy to speak longer on what the Restoration Advisory Board for the MACMAC formerly used defense sites is working on. So we just had a meeting back in November where I presented and discussed our ongoing and upcoming work. So I guess I'll start with ongoing. I could share a screen if that helps, or what do you think, Thomas?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, let me see about sharing screen. Okay, it says I can't share while you're sharing.
Okay, try again. Okay, we can see it.
Maybe. Okay, awesome. So I just have a couple of slides and a couple of maps, depending on how detailed we want to get. So this slide is kind of our ongoing and current work. Of course, we have the RAB, which consists of meetings and outreach. Through kind of that outreach effort, we participated recently in Camp Q. We provided some safety trainings over the summer at the Museum of the Ocean, and made a video of that one. Also, I guess there was an evening session at the school gym. I'm hoping to receive that video for dissemination to the public shortly. Our audio-visual specialist is putting the finishing touches on the draft for me. We are also working on some groundwater sampling at the pre-World War II tank farm. I have that under contract with Otna Environmental, and they will have their groundwater sampling work plan ready for landowner, regulator, and stakeholder review this February. And also in May 2023, they'll be doing that actual field work. That's when the groundwater sampling will take place over at the pre-World War II tank farm, which is over on Delta Way by the T-Dock. That the report on those field activities will be ready on approximately September 2023 for regulator, landowner, and stakeholder review. We are also working under contract with Unalashka Corporation Environmental, their new 8A for environmental work, and they just delivered their work plan to me for review. And I will have it out to landowners stakeholders and regulator for review actually February. So this is a bit of a typo. So I just received it. I'll give it a once over and then pass it on to stakeholders for review. And they're planning their field work in approximately May through July, and they'll report on their field activities approximately January, next January. We are also working on several planning steps ahead of a June 2024 contract for the munitions response work, kind of process. So we have several things underway there, but we will be working on the systematic planning process, which includes a site visit in February 2023. We'll meet with stakeholders, landowners, and regulators approximately like April or May 2023 to kind of kick off all the planning to be in order to be able to do a remedial investigation under contract June 2024. I'll pause for any questions. I do have backup maps for several of these sites if you want to zoom in on anything.
This is Travis. I just want to be clear. So you said the next meeting was in February, or that was just a trip out here to meet stakeholders?
Our next RAB meeting is February 22nd, and I'm co-located it with our site visit. So we'll be doing a site visit then, too.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
You can
continue.
Okay. I have several maps here. I wasn't really sure what would be of interest. I'll kind of zoom out a little bit. So this is all of the different formerly defense sites in the Aleutians that we're working on. So approximately 19 active sites that we're working on in the Aleutians. So just kind of wanted to give you an overview of what else is going on around Unalaska. Kind of here's the zoom in of the Unalaska area. I'm sure you've heard from a number of different Army Corps of Engineers project managers on several of these sites. But just kind of wanted to give you that kind of zoom out overview. Pause for any questions or comments.
Are these the blue ones, FY22, are these actively being cleaned up, or are these just identifying locations?
Yeah, so this is a bit of an old map from last year. But yes, we produce this map every year, and the blue are always the active, and the green are the future sites. It's to show that we're actively working on the majority of the sites, and there's just a few kind of future funded sites out there. And when I say actively working, it's anywhere between desktop planning to actual boots on the ground field work. So the blue doesn't necessarily mean actual cleanup work is happening. It just means that we are working on this property.
Gotcha. Thank you.
I have a couple of kind of really zoom-in maps also. So pre-World War II tank farm, as I mentioned, will be out February with a work plan for your review, and May for the actual groundwater sample and field work. So you can see a network of monitoring wells around the former tank farm. And we have previously done a response action here and are now in the long-term management phase. where we monitor the existing concentrations in the lung.
These wells here, looks like it says existing wells. So are any of those going to be new wells, or are those all supposed to be existing there?
So there are all existing wells. We intend to, in May, sample the wells that are still there. Occasionally, you know, a well gets clipped by a snowplow or... it's kind of a really heavy industrial area. So, you know, sometimes the wells do get destroyed. So if a well gets destroyed, we would look to reinstall it in the same location. You can see an example here. There was actually a concrete kind of like dump on top of a well. So we abandoned that well in place. And I understand, I think, why you're asking the question. If we were to install new wells, we would definitely need to do our SHPO coordination and our coordination with Historic Preservation Commission. Is that what you're asking?
The reason why I asked is that I actually work in one of the structures here in your area there, and I noticed the well that's marked kind of in the bottom right there is off a little bit. I mean, its placement on the map, it's pretty close. But and then also there was another well, or is, but it doesn't show it on your map. That's closer to the very bottom there. It's actually left off. I didn't know if that was abandoned or it just wasn't marked. So that's why I was asking if you were going to do some new ones. Or I wanted to check with Jenny there. We don't forget about Jenny. She's on the phone. Does she have any questions? Okay, thank you, Jenny. Okay, go ahead, Rena.
So I was just wondering, are you asking about wells kind of outside of this red outlined area?
The one that I notice is unmarked is literally right on the edge of where the red line is drawn. There's one that's... would be in the very bottom of your red line before it makes a 90 there, just right above it, kind of where the hand is sitting now. There's a well right along that concrete curb area there. But it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. I was just curious if the wells that we see here were going to be the only ones, or if there was going to be any additional wells added.
We're not intended to install additional wells. We would look to maintain the existing network and replace in the same location where necessary. I did want to mention, though, that there are other wells in this area, absolutely, because there are other contaminated sites in this area. So right here is part of the Roxy Point Tank Farm Monitoring Well Network. So it's possible that the well that you know of is maybe related to that network.
I got you. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. Move on to Unalaska Valley. Here's kind of an overview map of the work that was awarded to Unalaska Corporation Environmental, and kind of zoom in on a couple of different sites. So the green triangles are the sites that we awarded to them for limited removal actions, so just kind of like a polishing effort. So work was done in the 90s and 2000s, but we still have a few concentrations above cleanup levels, so we'll look to do limited polishing removal activities to finish the job. So the first site is actually the DPW building, and This site, there was a removal action performed, which is the red limit of excavation. And the red dots are above cleanup level, but actually the building was built on top of it. So for this site, the Alaska Corporation Environmental is preparing for us a draft environmental covenant for the city to review. And that will be ready for review in February. And the covenant will say that there's existing contamination beneath the building, and should the building, you know, ever be in the distant future, we would come back and finish the removal action. It will say, you know, don't install a drinking water well, you know, at this immediate vicinity, which would happen because it's underneath the building. It would say, don't dig unless you have an approved Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation work plan. So just all the things that you would have to do anyway. Questions or comments?
I don't think we'll be worrying about that one for a while.
Okay, right. And then right across the street, a previous removal action from 97, an exceedance. So what we intend to do here is sample groundwater, get weather. I think we are also sampling soil, I can't remember. And so we'll look to kind of recreate what is the current situation there and assess whether or not the current concentrations are above cleanup levels, because this is data is quite old. So this is a sampling effort. And then down at the kind of the end of the valley, this is on Unalaska Corporation land. We're actually having Unalaska Corporation Environmental do a removal action at this site. So you can see a couple of excavations occurred, a couple of exceedances remained at that time, and so. Go back and dig deeper, dig more, and remove the contamination. And I should mention, I'm sorry, all of the sites that I've talked about so far on the zoom-in map are all petroleum contamination from storage tanks. And then this site is up Evil, and it's owned by the city, and there was a previous excavation there with some exceedances, and OTE is going to do further excavation to remove the exceedances of the cleanup level if they're still there. And then the next couple of sites, we have some work to do on the rates of entry. I talked with Thomas about this last time I was out in Alaska. But for this site, kind of in the middle of the valley, we weren't able to get rate of entry, but the city owns this lot here, and the Department of Environmental Conservation said it would be okay to sample here. Sample groundwater, and if there aren't exceedances, we can close this site out, clean up complete. That's what we look to do there, and I am still working on that rate of entry, Tom. Apologize for the delay. Similarly, with this site on Weir, getting rate of entry at this specific site, so we'll look to do the same thing across the street, kind of, you know, in the direction of groundwater flow, sample groundwater, if groundwater is below cleanup levels, then we'll look to close this site out with the uses. And then most complicated site for last, and I have asked OCE to save this field work for last because it is quite complicated being at two residences, but we'll look to kind of do a polishing removal action here. So you can see three different excavations occurred over the years. A couple of exceedances above cleanup level remained at that time back in 2000. So we'll look to do some additional removal in the backyard over here. And I was able to work with this landowner the last time I was out in Alaska in November. And he provided me kind of a better drone imagery because he was worried about an existing structure. So this is the same map again with some additional imagery on there. And then the next couple of changes that I have are just kind of to show, you know, kind of the military buildup throughout Unalaska Valley. So that's kind of what we're doing. Well, what we did in the 90s and 2000s was remove all of these underground storage tanks, samples for petroleum contamination, remove soil where necessary, but we just didn't quite finish the job at seven of the sites, which is what I just presented. And then this is kind of the upper valley, just to kind of give you that historical view of, you know, what was where, latrine, garage, mess hall.
Rena, I got a question for you. When you go into some of these sites, like on the private property, where it's not a lot of space possibly between structures, and is the plan to dig with like an excavator, or do you drill a hole to get the test, or how do you guys get the soil sample?
We'll have a little drill rig available for that, but to take a drill soil sample, which is, you're correct, is a lot less intrusive. So that will be the method where that's applicable, and then we'll use a pretty small excavator where we're able to, especially in those spaces.
Okay, thank you for that.
So I kind of presented the current and ongoing work, and then kind of our next up plan are all around the island, but so we'll be doing a kind of the exact same method that we just went through to award a contract. We'll be doing that in Summer Bay, Humpty Cove, and Little South America areas. And so next up on my task list is to do right of entry with OC, and then we'll be coordinating our undertakings, Section 106 undertakings, and also the environmental assessment, and all of that would be for stakeholder review. And we do those things ahead of initiating the contract in June 2023. And I do have some zoom-in figures for Little South America and Summer Bay. If you have time and want to see those, I know I've taken more than 10 minutes.
I don't think that's necessary, Rena. Thank you, though.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me. And if anyone has any questions, I can put my email address in the chat. And
And Vicki, you have any questions? Nope. And Ginny, one last time.
Ginny, any questions? This is your last chance.
No questions. Okay. Rena, thank you so much for joining us this evening and giving us an update on what's going on. Appreciate it. I hope you have a good night. And being that we've worked through all the items on our agenda this evening, we will conclude the historic preservation meeting for this evening. We'll consider an adjourned here at 6:30 p.m. Thank you. All right, good evening. This is City of Unalaska Planning Commission and Plotting Board regular meeting. It's Thursday, December 15th, 2022. Let's call this meeting to order. It's 6:30 p.m. Can I get a roll call, please? Williams?
Here.
Swangle?
Here.
Marquez?
Bagley?
Hatfield? You have three members, you have a quorum.
Thank you for that. Okay, we have the agenda in front of us. Is there any revisions?
No revisions.
To the agenda? Hearing none, we'll consider the agenda adopted. Appearance request, I don't believe we have any. We have the applicant here with us this evening. Announcements, are there any announcements tonight?
No announcements.
Okay, thank you. It says minutes to be reviewed at the next meeting.
So I'm trying to understand notes and things from the last two meetings. I was unable to put together a set of minutes for, so I figured having Bill, when he was when he got back, we'd go, you know,
okay.
Talk about it.
All right,
we'll have
so
those
we'll,
for the next meeting.
We'll save the minutes for the next meeting. All right, we have public hearing. It's an opportunity for the public to speak on this item, which is item number one, resolution 2022-10, a resolution approving a side yard reduction variance from 10 feet to 3 feet on lot 2, Dickerson subdivision. Being that I only see the applicant here tonight, I think we're just going to skip through this and we'll jump right into the new business, which is again item number one. Resolution 2022-10, a resolution approving a side yard reduction variance from 10 feet to 3 feet on lot 2, Dickerson subdivision. Can I get a motion and a second to adopt this resolution? Make a motion to adopt this resolution.
Vicki made a motion. You got a second it, Vicki?
Or I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Thank you. Okay, staff.
Okay, Jeremy Harper here has applied for a variance to place a conics on his property. He's asking to put it within 3 feet of his property line on his side yard. The issue being that he sits on a property that has kind of a steep entryway. It's and a kind of narrow curving driveway. Which you can see.
Can we put that one over there? There you go.
On this drawing here. So what you can kind of see is this box here. That is a representation of the
area
that's we're looking at. So you have a 18-foot setback from the front yard from the 20-foot, and that would be a planning determination to allow for enough room to have the container backed up against the hillside in the back without having to do excavation, but also maintaining the drainage that runs underneath that back corner. The 3-foot side yard and the 7-foot setback that goes from the proposed location of the container to the adjacent property owner's building. Additionally, what you're seeing is the corner of that container leaving a 23-foot, roughly, amount of driveway space if it is placed in place. So this is the footprint of a 20 by 10 shipping container. So he is the new owner of the property. He purchased the property in the condition that it's in, with the large house and a small shed that's that kind of green structure you see in there. And then the carve-out for the steep setbacks there. It is a minimum 50-foot elevation across the yard from where Loop Road is to the rear of the lot. So it's a not insignificant amount of excavation, rock, and thing that would need to come out of there in order to place this container in a more in a position where setbacks would be able to be completely followed. So given the current location that the applicant has asked for, that's a 23-foot, that's more than enough to actually fit two cars side by side driving up that driveway. If the Planning Commission were to suggest moving that container out, it would still be possible to minimize the setback waiver that's required and still maintain a wide driveway with enough room to move vehicles in there. If you look at the detailed findings, that's your packet, page 9. For the first one, staff finds that the granting of this variance does not relieve the hardship that's not caused by the applicant, and it's because even though there is the topography issue, what I did was I just drew another box, same exact size, shuffled it over to the 10-foot out. It did carve up the driveway. It did make it smaller, but it does fit potentially. So because of, you know, strictly following that test, it does not fit that item. For the second test, granting the variance is not necessary to preserve the right of the granting the variance is necessary to preserve the right of the property owner to proceed with reasonable development. I find that it does pass this test of code. I mean, people should have the ability to put an accessory building on their property. They should be able to place it with enough room in order to be able to use their property, enjoy their property. And they should be able to, you know, use basically the footprint that's already existing for other things that are there. You know, there is that shed in existence already. As far as the third test, granting this variance will not negatively impact the health and welfare of the neighborhood or the surrounding properties. The topography of the lot lends itself to unique enough of a situation that a variance on this lot should not set a precedence for other properties in the area. Again, because it is a kind of unique situation with the vast elevation difference, not just from the front of the yard to the back of the yard, just from where the street is up into the driveway and where the front door is. And then as far as material detrimental to the code and the intent of the chapter, I find that it does meet the test of code. It doesn't conflict with the goals of the plan. It doesn't it doesn't fight with the ideas of the zoning code. It is a small accessory building. It's just a storage shed. This isn't like somebody's building a large, you know, mother-in-law or something, another additional residential, anything like that. This is an accessory use that would be subordinate to
okay.
The actual building. So it is recommended that Planning Commission deny the request as written. However, should consider other options for a waiver.
Thank you, Thomas.
Can
go ahead.
Can we ask Jeremy to come up? I got a question for him.
Just yeah.
Try and help this along.
Jeremy, if you could use the mic there.
So, Jeremy, I'm sorry. You know, I was on vacation for a while. And I know, Tom, I looked over for, you know, editorial. I'm wondering why we can't. I know you're probably trying to maximize your lot, but It looks like that existing building was 5 feet off the line, maybe, the shed. So I don't have a problem with it being where it already is. And what's the width of the existing shed that you're tearing down?
Well, probably won't be tearing it down. I'll be just moving it somewhere else, if not getting rid of it all in general. But I want to say it's probably 6 feet wide.
So I'm thinking if you move that square, Thomas, over just so we do the 5 foot and leave the other five, but I don't care that it's... I don't care that it doesn't meet the setback. I mean, the house basically doesn't meet the setback, does it? Or right. Almost. Right. Just so it's not crammed up against that lot line, is that reasonable? You still looks like you can get in and out of the drive.
So the situation I have, two vehicles. Well, honestly, I have three vehicles, but two is the daily driver. One's my wife's, one's mine. And what it is, I have, my truck is where that car is now, and then mm-hmm. my wife's truck is right next to it. Okay. So in order for me to get in and out of my driveway when my wife, because I leave first for work in the morning,
mm-hmm.
she would have to, or I would have to really finagle to get in and out of my parking spot. And also I got my Jeep Wrangler that I got to stick in front or close to the container in the front of it.
So you, at 2 feet, moving 2 feet to the, what is that, south? I'm trying to think. And towards the house?
That drawing, I'm planning on putting it back probably 2, 3, 4 feet back over my ditch line. I plan on putting a piece of pipe in my ditch line so the water can still, my drains can still go.
Oh, you're going to move it back then?
Just a little bit further back. You want it. Just where that drawing is now. I have a drawing in here that's more ideal where it's going to be.
I'm just trying to get it a little farther away from the lot line, Jeremy, because otherwise we will get tons of people.
I'm going
to
pipe in here real quick, too. And I was going to make a suggestion here, which is kind of along the lines where you're going. So considering that the lot and the topography, and I can see there's solid bedrock mm-hmm. back there, which obviously be, you know,
pain in the butt.
Quite a major task, and then it creates other issues. But, you know, and obviously not even looking at the house next door, which is a structure that's been there for a long time, and I don't think there's anybody in there, but it looks like it's only got like 2 feet off the line. But, you know, not to compare what's going on next door, but to be fair, you know, what he's asking for, I feel is not unreasonable, but here's the thing is, if we keep a 3 foot buffer, which is enough for a person to get in there and let's say paint the side of your container or something, right? Gives enough. But if you're going to put blocks there to hold down the container, so they're about 2 feet. So I would be aligning with where Bill is saying and go with 5 feet. And that way it allows a 2 foot block and it still gives you a 3 foot buffer between the block and the property line. So we're only asking. Your variance would only be asking for 5 feet instead.
Okay, if I'm able to get that 5 feet, I'm still going to be able to push it back where I can still put that over that ditch line?
Well, this is what I'm suggesting, and I would like to, Vicky, she's got a question.
Yeah, we're just worried about the side lot line.
Okay.
You can, right. You have plenty of room to go back, obviously on paper, but three-dimensionally, you got all that lift.
Okay.
And I understand you're trying to get in and out and all, just trying to head off any trend of disease.
It's not all solid rock right there where you're, it's, the van is right there, is it? That you couldn't get an exit,
there's a little bit of overburden
back there to remove some of that so you could move it back a little more?
Yeah, so there is a little bit of overburden on top of it, but it's just straight to bedrock.
Overburden. That's what I can
there's maybe 6 inches to a foot of overburden.
Yeah, because see, if there was fire trucks had to get between, that's my worry.
Okay.
That's because if they had to take a fire truck right there, mm-hmm. or the firemen had to go, I would hate to see somebody get hurt.
I got you. Know?
So, you know, like if it was moved back some and
it's a good point,
blocks and it's 5 feet out,
yeah,
like somebody should be able to get in, run in there with a hose or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I do plan on, I want to push it back as far as I can go, yeah. But I mean, it's only very little soil on top of that straight to bedrock. But I do plan on pushing it back to that hillside as far as I can go. Okay. And I do plan on putting the pipe, as you can see where that looks like a white buoy in that picture. It's where the water runs off.
Yeah. Mm.
And I'm putting an 8-inch pipe underneath the container so I don't wash out my driveway or any other causes. So the water flow will still be there.
So the French drain will be intact. Or you'll make it, And then if you can scooch it back, then you would meet the criteria for the front setback of 20 feet. And then you'd only be asking for a 5 feet variance.
Okay.
I want to check with Ginny. Does she have any comments or questions for the applicant?
Ginny, do you have any comments?
No, I don't have any. Thank you.
This is Ginny.
But yeah, if it's fine for me to push that back, I will get an excavator in there and dig out much as I can before I hit bedrock. And I will do that.
Go ahead.
So, Thomas, with him agreeing to what we're suggesting, doesn't he have to rewrite this? Change it or whatever?
I can change it, and we can print off a new copy and have it for...
Okay. Yep. Yeah, because it would be nice to... I think of safety.
That's a good point.
My other thing I was going to mention was, you know, moving the container and actually having them meet the requirements would cause, snow removal, even though we don't hardly ever get snow anymore. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, that would actually be a major problem, because I've actually plowed that driveway over the years on occasion. And, you know, when you start trying to stack snow, you run out of room and you're like trying to stack in the front yard and everything. You know, obviously with the way things are anymore, it's rain, but just in case, it's something to keep in mind. And so, again, you said you're going to move or tear down the other shed then?
Well, I haven't decided yet. I'll probably just see if anyone wants it. If they don't want it, then I'll just get rid of it.
I got you. Okay.
Because it still is a decent shed.
So, you know, considering what we're talking about here, I don't see an issue by granting the applicant a 5 feet variance, more or less of what we're looking at here on this on this map. I check with my fellow commissioners here. Would you guys agree? Or
yeah, I don't mind him making changes like we suggest. My thing is safety. Okay. Mostly.
How about Jenny?
Jenny, the proposal is to grant a 5 foot waiver to the side yard requirement.
Okay, thank you. I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so
the speakers on the bottom.
5 foot, I'm able to push it back as far as I can, even if I get an excavator and dig out some of that soil.
Yeah, you can go back, obviously, as far as you want on your property, as far as you can get, and that's not the issue. Or, you know,
it's just the variance on the side.
Exactly, that's what we're talking about here. And, you know, I mean, I get it. I'm looking at your deal, and your house is pushed all the way over. You don't got any more. I'm familiar with this lot, so I kind of know what you're up against. But that's great that you're gonna try to scratch in there and get back as far as you can, which brings me to the thing about the blocks is, like, if you could bury them, then you could get them direct. But the fact is, you can't bury the block because you're going to be against bedrock. So if you put them to the sides, that's going to stick out another 2 feet. You know, they're about 2 foot wide for those blocks. So that's why I was just saying, give me 2 feet over, and then you've still got your 3 foot. And
no problem.
Give me 2 feet. Give me 2 steps. 3 steps.
So.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If you're going to put blocks there and you're painting the same color as your building, wouldn't you want him to paint the inside blocks yellow or something so people could see that? You know what I mean?
I think that's up to the property owner, so he doesn't smash his rig on it in the morning.
If it was a commercial site or something.
Or the fireman.
If it was a commercial site, I'd worry about it, but I'm not.
Yeah, so... All right. Well, with that being said, let's all in favor of approving resolution 2022-10 with a 5 foot variance rather than the the 7 foot.
Do you need to amend it?
Yeah, we
or should we need to amend it first?
Vote to amend.
Yeah, okay. Let's do it perfect
okay.
That way.
All right. So. Can I get a motion to amend resolution 2022-10 to show the 5 foot variance rather than a 7?
I'll make a motion to the changes.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, it's approved. And so now back to the original resolution. 2022-10 as revised. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, the ayes have it. Motion is approved. And that is the only thing on our list this evening. So we've worked through all the items. We will consider tonight's meeting adjourned. It is 6:49 p.m. Thank you guys. We're adjourned.
Good enough. Thanks, Jenny. Thanks for coming through.
All righty. We need a deer shack up by the patio up there, so we can put it up there.
Yeah, right. It's a bonfire up there.
Right.
That's the
driving range up there?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right at the back of
the shack for the
It's a hike to get up there, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've seen the kids up there before having fun. I wonder if it was so out of the ordinary. I was like, what is going on up there? And I realized it was shaking.
Goodbye.